Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. We're reading the Gospel according to John this morning. The next day, the great crowd had come to the festival that had come. They heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning I have a rambly sermon, really many sermons built into one. But I invite you to think with me about this parade, to let your mind wander through the crowd, and that Jesus would help us and settle us, that we might find our place with those glad people. Help me to sing. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. One more time. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Open our eyes, holy God, and help us find our place with your friends in this parade. We ask it in your holy name. The people of God together say, amen. So each of the four Gospels records this story about the entry that Jesus makes into Jerusalem, this Palm Sunday parade. But none of the Gospels really give us much insight as to what the crowd might be thinking, what might be going on in their heads as this radical parade is kind of happening before their eyes, as people come out to greet Jesus during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as they welcome him with this impromptu parade. I wonder what they're thinking, and I wonder if you'll wonder with me. Peter, for example. We know in Scripture from other places he's blustery, he's bold, he says what is on his mind, he's faithful, he's strong, he stumbles into things, he's a fisherman. When Jesus says, "It is on you that I am building my church," he's talking about Peter. What is Peter thinking? Perhaps he feels kind of acting as a firstborn son. I don't know what his birth order is, but firstborn people often are trying to clean up messes and trying to organize things. And maybe he thinks he's the steward of this parade. He didn't plan it. It would have been a better parade had he planned it, but he didn't plan it. So maybe he's getting people in line. Maybe he's lining people up, getting to say Hosanna on the count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe he thinks he's kind of a bodyguard to Jesus. He's looking out for the authorities who might come from those walls any minute bearing clubs. If you're going to hurt my man, you're going to have to go through me to get to him. Or maybe Peter is just given in to reckless abandon. And maybe he's the most childlike of the whole crowd. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Maybe his voice is hoarse with praising God. Maybe he's given over to this moment completely, to abandon, to dancing, like we recently danced with our Cuba partners at the Luyano Church. He may have shouted louder than anyone, Hosanna, blessed is the name, or blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. What about Judas? Oh, he's there, we presume. All the disciples are. Judas is with that crowd. Maybe Judas is thinking that the time is drawing nigh. We're getting close to some kind of cataclysmic explosion. God's kingdom is coming, and I'm going to do my part to welcome that kingdom, to hurry that kingdom in. Jesus will soon unleash God's heavenly army, and those angels will come in chariots of fire, and they will turn things down and waste anybody who stands in the way, Romans and religious leaders, everyone, so that God's kingdom on heaven can rise up on earth as in heaven. Some believe Judas was an evil betrayer, that he betrayed Jesus, and he did, we know that from Scripture, with something as innocuous and as poignant as a kiss. But many more scholars believe that Judas was simply trying to hurry things along. There's nothing to doubt Judas's faithfulness, really. The sooner Jesus got arrested, the sooner he was forced into a tight spot. This may have been what Judas was thinking. The sooner God's kingdom will come, the sooner God will come to rescue God's son, the sooner this new heaven and new earth will be established. And that's what Judas was doing, many scholars believe, when they handed him over, when Judas arranged that handing over, not to betray Jesus or to sidetrack the mission, but to give the final ramp to that mission. Judas is in that parade, surely. Is he happy? Is he swept up in the moment? Or is his mind racing in a thousand directions, plotting, wondering, scheming? Is he plotting to force Jesus' hand so this new day can dawn a few moments sooner? Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus will save us, and I'm going to do my part. Mary? Is she there? We can presume she was. A mother is always looking out for her child. Amen? Those of you who are mothers know this. You don't have to be a mother to know it, though. Because fathers and friends and uncles and neighbors feel this too. She might be worried. You know, mothers worry. You've never been good with donkeys, Jesus. So hold on, son. And there's a chill in the air. Where's your jacket, boy? You could catch your death out here. Mothers have a way of worrying even when there's nothing to worry about. Is there something to worry about today? Where is this parade leading? This parade does not have a permit. Not everybody may be happy with this impromptu protest. Not everybody may be happy with this march. Somebody might get hurt. Everybody is calling her son the king. They might be right, but she is too. He's my boy. And she has a right to worry. Everybody shouts, Hosanna. But she, Mary, the mother of God, may quietly be saying, like a prayer, be careful, my son. She knows, surely she knows, this crowd can turn on him. This crowd can hurt him. Or worse. The disciples, maybe their families, all coming to Jerusalem for the feast, Mary Magdalene, the other women that we read about often around with this crowd, the hangers-on, the well-wishers, people looking for a good time, the faithful. Many joined this parade, we presume, and perhaps many more watched. And all these years later, what about you? Where are you in this parade? And what are you thinking? We might be leaning against a post, standing in the warm sun, watching the shadows play upon the wall of the ancient city. Are you shouting? Are you in the midst of it? Are you dancing like a child, catching your breath? I'm too old for this, but nevertheless. Or are you standing from a few paces back, maybe not shouting, but maybe mouthing the words, wanting to join in, not quite sure. I've never been that religious. Are you waving your palms, making a show, having a little fun? Did you throw your coat, that new one that you like so much, on the ground in front of that donkey? Because others were doing it, it seemed to make some sense. I'm going to do my part. The Pope has the Popemobile. The King of England travels in a Rolls Royce or one of those gilded carriages pulled by horses. Our president is always necessarily separated from us by bulletproof glass. But Jesus is out in the open air, riding on the back of a donkey. Do you feel the electricity all these years later? Do you feel the electricity of the moment? Jesus is doing a political thing, and we don't like to mix politics and religion, do we? I don't. One time I busted the Republicans, and then I busted the Democrats. And somebody said afterwards, you busted the Republicans. And I said, yeah, but I busted the Democrats too. And this friend said, but you busted the Republicans more. And I said, next time I'll try to bust more equally. But we don't like to mix politics and religion. And yet Jesus is thumbing his nose at the powers that be. Maybe this is the Jesus we want to take a few steps away from. We like the Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, Jesus. But this Jesus, maybe not so much. Maybe he's leading us down a road we just don't want to go down. Jesus is thumbing his nose at the powers that be. He's making a scene. He's encouraging behavior. At least he's not telling people to shut up. In fact, in another gospel, the leaders say, tell your disciples to be quiet. And he says, famously, if I told them to be silent, the very stones would shout out. So is he encouraging behavior that could be interpreted as impolite? I think so. Jesus is openly mocking the leaders of the day who ride into town on the other side of the city on steeds or in chariots with a lot of fanfare, surrounded by armed guard. And here Jesus on the other side of the city is coming in on a donkey. And to be honest, we know that he's walking down the road to ruin. So maybe that's one reason we're kind of taking a few steps back as we get closer to the city wall. His protest will be squashed. Oh, they'll get into the city, all right. But we know later this protest and any seeds of it will be squashed and ground into the ground. And this path, we know, leads ultimately to a cross for this beloved one on this donkey. Mary is right. His mother is right to worry. Life is dangerous. Life is filled with many sharp edges. Others in the crowd, they don't know this. They don't know we're heading to a cross, but we do. We know it all too well. We like the idea of Jesus and parades, though. We like the idea of joining in. We like the abandon we see in this scene. We like the palm branches. We like the liturgy of the palms because we get to celebrate it in the safety of our sanctuary. We get to show out a little bit, even though we're really shy people. When Jesus parades into our hospital room, and when he pulls out a chair and sits by our side and looks in our eyes and takes our hand and puts it in his, we want to be a part of that parade. And the strength rises in us like a sap. And when he leaves our room, we get up out of bed and we unhook those IVs or grab that pole and we want to follow. We want to go to every room with Jesus, with that healing in his hands. That's the parade we want to be a part of. But when Jesus parades into our house, when we're standing in our underwear having a fight with our family, and Jesus says to us quietly, not unkindly, quit being so mean-spirited. We don't want to join that parade. We don't want somebody to stand in judgment of us. What do you know, Jesus, of being a husband or a wife? What do you know about raising kids? This is a parade I might be reluctant to join, mainly because I'm always right. And who are you to suggest? Well, you are the Son of God. We want to love Jesus. We do. We aren't interested maybe in this Jesus who loves us, but who offers correction and judgment. We'll follow him anywhere if we can fit it into our schedules. So long as it doesn't get too demanding, so long as he doesn't get too demanding. Don't ask so much from me, Lord. Ask Joe Grant and the choir. They can do anything, but me, I'm really busy this week and I'm weak. I'm not as strong as Joe Lundy or as faithful. We're religious, but we're not fanatics, are we? Plenty of those around us, though, are shouting Hosanna. It's a shout of jubilation, which means sort of savior or save or rescue, a Hebrew word. People around us are saying this with respect and with anticipation. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And notice how some of us, when we're in this crowd, notice how we're crying, some of us are crying. Notice the children, how they chase one another, how they swat each other with the palm branches, kind of missing the point, kind of having too much fun. Kids will be kids, slashing those palms against the blue sky. Can we be that happy? Should we be that happy? Is this why John is reporting the children to us? Are we too buttoned down to do anything with that kind of abandon? Look, your king is coming. The crowd is saying, your king is coming. What about our loyalties? We're loyal to many things. We're loyal to our basketball team, and they won again, and we're glad. We're loyal to our point of view, so much so that some of us have become so brittle we're unable to entertain other points of view. We become too narrow-minded to try on other thoughts for size. Is this because we're afraid? Or are we just arrogant? We're loyal to our friends and family, naturally. Shouldn't we be? Jesus was loyal to his friends. Jesus says there's no greater loyalty than to lay down your life for the safety and the life of a friend. So loyalty's not a bad thing. The problem with our loyalties, and Jesus will talk about this again and again, is when our loyalties get in the way of our loyalty with God. Notice how Jesus is not letting his loyalties to others get in the way of what he's come here to do. He's not choosing the easy thing here. We know that. And we wouldn't blame him if he did. Do you remember in the wedding at Cana, Mary tells him, go talk to the steward and get that water to wine thing going on. And Jesus says, quit rushing me, woman. And she gives him that mother's look, that Jewish mother's look. And he gets busy. He gets busy. He's kind of pushed in that scene to step into his messianic role. Well, here nobody's pushing him. He's making it step by step by step on his own. We would not blame him for going the other way. In just a few scenes, he's going to pray to God, Lord God, let this cup pass me by. But not my will be done, your will be done. So he's making his way in. And this short ride on that donkey is his longest journey so far. Look, the crowd says, your king is coming. And where do we stand? And what do we believe? And what are we thinking? Do we believe it's a king, our king? Is our loyalty focused wholly on the one sitting on the back of that donkey? What's holding us back from joining that parade? John tells us, finally, that these disciples really didn't know what to make of this parade until later. They understood what happened here on that Sunday after they had lived through this week, after Jesus had been betrayed and crucified, after the women found that tomb empty, after they had seen their risen Lord. Then this Palm Sunday starts making more sense for them. After things settled, they saw the significance of this parade. Jesus rides right into the middle of our hearts, right down the main street of our lives. Jesus steals the scene. He didn't come to take power. He did not come to take power, as the disciples may have thought at the time he was doing. No, he didn't come to take power. He came with power to speak truth to power. And this power could not be denied. It would not stay nailed to a cross. So this parade made sense to the disciples only in the looking back at it. After the ringing hosannas had died down, after those faithful women had gathered at the tomb to prepare a body, but there was none. In the looking back, the disciples understood that this is what the reign of God looks like. Ragtag, upside down, children leading the way, people coming together to love as our Savior loves, marching together to make a joyful noise. Those who claim to be faithful cannot de-radicalize this parade, but we can join it. We can join the parade. We join the Hosanna chorus. We come to love, we come to serve, we come to listen, we come to heal, we come to sing, we come in the name of the one who leads us, who is riding on a donkey. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, bringing these gifts of love, of service, sharing these gifts so generously, sharing himself so wholly, setting the example, inviting us to join, to sing, to serve, to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.